gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Chris, what do we say every time I say Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz?
Best Congresswoman ever?
No, we normally say love her.
Oh, love her, yes.
Yeah, some more breaking news this morning. Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz spotted wearing Converse Chuck Taylors with her suit on Capitol Hill.
Oh, that's awesome.
If it is possible to love her anymore. Look at her, getting ready to hit a three-pointer from downtown. Good morning, Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Good morning, Stephanie. You cracked me up. Nice to be with you.
Were you horrified? I thought it was the coolest thing ever.
I'm still wearing the Chuck Taylors.
Awesome.
So, you know, you gotta look the part.
Gotta
have a broken leg. I'm telling you, the new look for members of Congress is Chuck teeth. I'm sure of it.
I got some myself. I'm telling you, I'm not a high heel girl unless I have to be. So what?
If I had a broken leg, I'm not either.
Oh, that's
now,
right.
Do you actually have a broken leg still?
Well, I'm still recovering from the broken leg, so high heels aren't working for me so much right now.
What is with all the president's women? Hillary Clinton, who else broke something? Sonia Sotomayor, you? What's going on?
We're working our bones pretty hard, I think.
Yeah.
And it also has something to do with, for me, not knowing how to turn down the competitive gene.
Aha.
Maybe sliding into second base wasn't such a good idea.
I think the administration should buy calcium in bulk for the female members of the...
I think you're right.
Now, Congresswoman, help us. You always try to help us through the health care murk because, one day after another we hear this or we hear that or we hear the Senate Finance Committee's doing this or Harry Reid seems to have given his first, pretty clear signal yesterday that he is considering reconciliation. Where do you think we're at with healthcare right now?
Well, I think the bottom line of where we're at is that we're going to put a bill on the president's desk by the end of this year. I would bet pretty good money that that's going to happen. I know that no matter where on the political spectrum a Democratic member sits, House or Senate, I think we're really unified in achieving that goal. And I know that every member that I talk to wants to vote for as much significant reform as we possibly can. And, for me, that includes a robust public option. For most of the members in the House, it does. But, I think also a lot of us feel very strongly that we not miss this opportunity for reform either.
Well, I certainly hope not. I think what happens is, if you're just a layperson and you hear, the House can't pass a bill without a public option and the Senate can't pass one with a public option, of course you have fear that could this whole thing implode.
Well, all I know is that I don't want to go back and stand in front of my constituents who really want to see us pass health care reform and tell them, it wasn't perfect, so I voted no. That's not why they sent me up here.
And I would be frightened if I were you of your constituents because you can't run that fast, Congresswoman.
Not right
what
now.
With your bum leg and all.
Point.
But I think it's been clear to many of us for a long time. We are just not going to get any support from the Republicans. This is all about politics for them. I love Senator Snowe calls for slowing down work on health care now. If only we could reach FDR on the Heavenly Hotline and see how he feels about how quickly we're moving on health care reform.
I really just... It's amazing to me. I keep getting asked by other people in the media, but why are you moving so fast? I don't know. I've been in the legislative process for 17 years, and this is not my definition of fast.
Yeah.
I've seen bills printed and put on the floor, in a day and sent to the governor of Florida or the president under the Bush administration and, no opportunity for review at all. We are really painstakingly, carefully going through the whole reform process so that people understand it, so that we can make sure the public is involved and that we get their input. Taking 6 or 7 months to pass a bill, I don't know, that's not lightning speed to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Congresswoman Schultz, what would you say now is the time frame? Because we still hear, you know, the latest are, you know, there's all these amendments that are going on, certain measures. I know Senator Rockefeller and Senator Schumer just introduced amendments to include a public option in the Max Baucus plan. And what, you know, for those of us, again, just lay people, take us through what's happening now and what the time frame you think is going to be.
Well, I mean, it's hard for me to speak for the Senate, but I think at the end of the day, the bottom line is that we will probably not be voting on a final product, I think, until right before the Christmas holidays. I just think the reality is by the time the Senate passes a bill, the House passes a bill, right, and we go through the conference process and sort out the, you know, literally thousands of details that there will be to sort out and the big, fat, hairy issues, it's realistically, I think it'll be right before the December holiday break.
I will take health care reform for Christmas. Thank you.
I will too.
Or Hanukkah, or whichever.
Hanukkah.
Congresswoman, how did you do your? What did you say about the competitive gene? How did you break your foot or leg? Exactly.
July 14th, we organized the first annual congressional women's softball game, and I was sliding into second base, trying to make sure I was safe, which I might add.
You were safe. Oh, hallelujah!
I was safe.
Thank God.
And,
wow.
Broke my, fractured my fibula and sprained my ankle.
Wow. Can I just say that is awesome that you actually slid into second base? You are in it to win it, my friend.
Yeah, you know, you should do that more than once every 17 years, though, Stephanie.
Yeah, you might want to ease up now.
I'm going to take a break. Maybe do it again when I'm in my 60s.
Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, one of our absolute favorites. Thanks for taking time for us, as always.
Thanks so much, Stephanie. Good to talk to you.
Oh, you too. There she goes.
Wow.
Come on.
Okay, no wonder she was wearing Chuck Taylors.
That is awesome. You don't see that kind of commitment from adults in sports these days,
right,
do you?
No, you don't. And for good reason, apparently.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And it shows why that's generally considered, what's the word I'm looking for, Chris? Unwise.
Right.
It's generally considered.
But she slid into second base. That is so cool.
She was safe is the point.
Yes.
She won is the point.
It ain't a man's world.
It's a woman in Chuck Taylor's world. That's whose world it is.
That's right.
Okay, we are going to be talking to Jesse Jackson, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, in just a couple minutes, live from the Clinton Global Initiative.
Yes.
He is also working on getting those hikers out of Iran. So lots of big breaking news left and right this morning. Speaking of breaking news, Jim, have you heard the...
Huh? Oh, boy.
Mackenzie Phillips.
Oh, boy. This doesn't sound good.
News this morning.
It's...
I'll,
Yeah.
It's a... Wow, that's quite shocking. That is really shocking, and we will...
Schneider couldn't even fix
You know how Schneider cannot fix this, Jim.
You know how Mackenzie Phillips has had a troubled life?
Yeah.
You know, with all kinds of
this
drugs.
This is more trouble than we...
This is worse than drugs.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
It's...
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. I see Reverend Jackson
was Screech
is,
involved?
No.
No, someone much worse.
Ooh. No. Mamas and papas involved in this particular case. All right. I see Reverend Jackson is on the line here. However, it's not, available quite this second.
Yeah, they're getting
second.
To the phone. Okay.
Okay, because I feel like maybe I shouldn't bring this up until after. You'll have to wait for the Mackenzie Phillips news. All right. Live from the Clinton Global Initiative, it is the Reverend Jesse Jackson. Good morning, Reverend.
Good morning. How are you today?
I am good, sir. You know, the big news I hear this morning is that you're trying to work for the release of these hikers in Iran, these Americans.
The family members contacted me a few days ago. You know, we've done some of this work across the years in Syria and Cuba and Iraq and Yugoslavia. And we want to do it again. We think that gaining their release is not only humane, it could be a dialogue breakthrough. They apparently crossed some technical line. And whether it's releasing them on human rights grounds or amnesty grounds, we appeal for their release. And if going there, if we were permitted to go to make the appeal even directly, we would do that. Of course, the leadership of Iran is in New York today, so we're reaching out here. But we think that their freedom is a big deal for their families and for America and the world.
Well, that would, particularly after, of course, you know, the happy ending with the North Korean story, that would really be great news. So I
hope... you know, one of the values, of course, in reaching out, you know, you reach out, some people don't want to reach out to their friends. You must reach out to adversaries if you're going to bring some reconciliation. And so in the case of North Korea, when we present the human rights issue, and they rejected that. They say that our young leaders were wrong. It was not human rights. It was amnesty. So they got credit for having mercy. Bottom line is they're home now. And so what is amnesty, our human rights, please let them go.
Yep. Reverend Jackson, you are at the Clinton Global Initiative today. What are you going to be speaking about?
Well, I feel that the reports about recovery are overly optimistic because they are too limited. The banks that drove us into this crisis because of miscalculations, greed, a lack of regulation, a lack of oversight, they got bailed out, and so they are recovering. They are paying bonuses again. They said the banks are too big to fail. Well, Goldman Sachs is now twice as big as it was this time a year ago, and AIG has $175 billion to stimulate it. But we're watering the leaves and not watering the roots. So with all of the stimulus package and Wall Street talking to each other, we're losing a net loss of 8.5 million jobs the last 18 months. Foreclosures, 4.5 million homes in foreclosure. The foreclosure out distancing, you know, the modifications. Student loan debt, $100 billion and rising. And so to me, a jobless recovery is like an eggless omelet. We must begin to stimulate bottom-up, not just top-down.
Reverend Jackson, I know you don't have long with us. You obviously have a very busy day today. But, you know, I was curious. Obviously, former President Carter and former President Clinton have had some thoughts, you know, on racism as it relates to President Obama. Well, where do you come down on all that?
Well, it's real, but we must not allow it to become a distraction from the need for a comprehensive health care plan. For example, the cost of health care is rising faster than the economy is growing. And unless we have a definitive move, I think a public option that can offset the impact of insurance companies and pharmaceuticals and hospitals, 16% of GNP could become 20%. So we must not even allow this discussion to distract us from the need for a comprehensive health care plan and for a job recovery, not just a jobless recovery.
Yep, absolutely. Reverend Jesse Jackson, we thank you for taking time for us. You know, good luck and Godspeed. Let's hope we get some pictures like we did after the North Korean situation with our Americans that are in Iran right now. Thank you so much for your work on that.
Thank you so much.
Keep us posted. All right, there he goes, Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Wow.
Sounded busy there at the Clinton Global Initiative in New York. I think those were real people milling around.
Yes, real like global leaders milling around. I mean, that's a big event going on there.
And you took time to call our little fart joke show.
That's kind of impressive.
Yeah, sometimes I come in, Jim, and I'm like, really? Who's calling in about what? Really? Wow.
Not that Jesse Jackson.
I better do some preparation of some sort for that.
And that was booked about 5 minutes before we went on the air. So.
Oh, dear. Mom was like, ooh, should have stopped cocktail hour a little early last night.
Wow.
Debbie Wasserman-Schultz, healthcare reform, global...
Allison Schwartz coming up in just a little bit.
Jerk!
So we had the Schultz, now we have the Schwartz.
May the Schwartz be with you. All right.
But something tells me that Allison Schwartz has never slid into second base. But we can ask her.
Something tells me that what most people are talking about this morning, however, is Mackenzie Phillips.
Oh,
yikes. We will tell you that big bombshell next, huh?
Oh, God.
Is that a tease? I mean, if you ain't heard this, ain't no one going away now. Oh, no, she didn't. Oh, yes, she did.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
Back. Right back with that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. That's like my favorite show ever.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome to the Stephanie Miller Show. It is time for the...
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
...portion of the Celebrity Stack this morning. Mackenzie Phillips slept with her own father.
Yeah.
More than... The papa of the mama. And the papa's, yes, an ongoing relationship.
Consensual.
Okay. Mackenzie Phillips, you remember from, and you're right, Jim, you were correct. Schneider cannot fix this.
No.
From one day at a time. And don't hate my father, Mackenzie Phillips tells People magazine. But in a tell-all book out Wednesday, the former childhood actress reveals that her dad, musician John Phillips, the 1960s band, the Mamas and the Papas, engaged with her in a long-term incestuous relationship. The book High on Arrival says that she was already a star playing a boy-crazy teen on the TV sitcom One Day at a Time when her father had sex with her on the night before she was to marry a member of the Rolling Stones entourage in 1979, Jeff Sessler.
Wow.
On the eve of my wedding, my father showed up determined to stop it, said Phillips, who was 19 and a heavy drug user at the time. I had tons of pills, and Dad had tons of everything, too. Eventually, I passed out on Dad's bed.
Oh.
My father was not a man with boundaries. I'm glad she felt she needed to...
Yeah.
To that, that's the
shocking
part.
Spell that out for us.
Really, now.
Thanks.
Gee, I wouldn't... That seems kind of harsh.
I hate to judge before all the facts are...
Yes. Right. He was full of love.
Huh?
Yeah.
Full of something.
And he was sick with drugs. I woke up that night from a blackout to find myself having sex with my own father.
Ah!
Oof.
Had this happened before? I didn't know.
Oh?
Okay, that might be the worst part of the story. You know, I am so high.
Really clear.
Not really sure if I've been having sex with my father. Not.
Oh.
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Hmm. Okay, I didn't know. All I can say is it was the first time I was aware of it.
Oh God.
Wow. If I am having sex with my father, I'm not necessarily aware of it. Wow. Phillip's life began to spiral out of control. It gets worse.
Oh, yes.
Okay, here comes the bad part.
Yes, it does get worse.
Wow. In 1980, she was fired from One Day at a Time because of her constant drug use. That same year, she went to rehab with her father. Her sexual relationship with him had become consensual. So you see how rehab makes you, it just gives you clarity.
Right.
I think that's why I'm just going to keep drinking, because if that's what rehab does for you... This makes your sex with your father
that's
consensual.
That's when you say no, no, no to rehab.
Maybe Amy Winehouse has the right idea.
Yeah.
No, you got to go into rehab? No.
No, go to rehab.
John Phillips.
I said
no.
No, no, no. You know, Mike, I posit that perhaps this particular rehab counselor, not of the finest moral integrity.
No.
Perhaps not of the finest quality rehab counselor.
Didn't have any boundaries either.
Perhaps this was not the intervention that by her family that was being suggested. However, maybe it was a forceful intervention there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oi.
Okay. All right. I think we're gonna need some sort of fluffy sorbet between courses here.
Yes.
All right. We have more entertaining celebrity stack, but first we will check in with Representative Allison Schwartz, Democrat of the great state of Pennsylvania, about health care and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Hey, she's a babe.
No, I shouldn't have read the rest of the Mackenzie Phillips book during breakfast. There's more, everybody. We'll be back to that in a moment. First, one of the most important issues, of course, facing America right now, health care reform. In the thick of it, Representative Allison Schwartz of the great state of Pennsylvania. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning. How are you?
I am all right.
I think you're talking about health care almost as much as I am.
Yes.
Oh. Okay, isn't that the main thing? I just want to be done talking about this.
Well, we probably will continue and should continue working on health care policy and access. We're not going to be done here, but
right. You're
absolutely right. After, 30 years of trying to figure out a way for all Americans to have access to meaningful consistent coverage to finally get there, it would be great.
We just had your colleague, Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, on, and that's what I was saying, that, here's Olympia Snow saying we're rushing. And I said, well, I wonder if we could reach FDR on the Heavenly Hotline, see how he feels about the mad rush we're in.
I've been working on it for 25 years, so I feel very personally.
Congresswoman, your colleague says we will have health care reform with a public option. She thinks by Christmas is the realistic by the end of the year. What do you think?
Well, the president has really compelled us and, really charged us with getting him a bill that he can sign by the end of the year. We're going to meet that deadline. We're going to have to move more quickly in the House, and the Senate's going to have to move, and then we're going to have to talk to each other and get a plan into a legislation that really works for the American people. But we will do that before the end of the year and get it to the president.
You know, I'm hearing that more and more, Congresswoman. It's giving me hope, because I think that as people keep calling it, watching the sausage being made, I think is making us all sick. Because there's a different twist and turn every day.
But, in some ways it's wonderful that the public, that Americans are so engaged in watching all of this. And it does seem like, how does this all happen? I remember my husband asking me that many years ago when I first started in the state senate. He said, it's amazing. It's so hard. And I said, but that is the process. And it's a good process in a lot of ways. You want your representative in Congress to be asking the tough questions, to be engaged in this process, to work it out so it works for everyone across the country, and to try and get the right kind of bill.
Right.
And that takes some time. Everything does.
Yeah.
But it may look messy from the outside. It's sometimes a little messy from inside, but it's an important part of the process.
Mm-hmm. Congresswoman,
we get it right.
Absolutely. I mean, it seems like, for parents out there, it reminds me, the town halls and the Joe Wilsons, and it's like kids having a tantrum, and we're like, okay, are you done now? Now let's sit down like adults and have a conversation about health care. Because I think that's what it's been, isn't it? Some of this has just been primal scream therapy.
Well, some of that is really what's been out in the the public arena. There's a lot of work being done in committees, in small groups, in different members of Congress and our staff getting together to work out the details of this legislation. And so that isn't always visible to the American people. A shout like that from a member of Congress did catch us all. So it was some surprise, the lack of manners, if nothing else, and
mm-hmm.
But that there's a lot more going on in terms of working out the detail and the specifics. And, of course, we do have a bill that's been through three different committees that is going to be merged together and really –
When does the merging happen exactly?
It's still in process. One of the committee still has to meet to go through some other amendments. But really, leadership is working with all of the different people so engaged. I'm involved with this to make sure we work out the final details. We also listen to the American people and want to see if we can't respond on a couple of their issues and see if we. We want to make sure that, of course, this bill is paid for, that it is meaningful for every American in terms of really, helping them have, when they buy insurance, it really meaning something and they're having stability. So we want to to merge all these bills. We're going to see it. I think you're going to see a bill out of the House in the next few weeks.
Wow. Well, we will look forward to it, and we will check back in with you as always. Thanks so much for taking time for us. Representative Allison Schwartz of the great state of Pennsylvania. Thank you.
There'll be no more questions.
I think she thought I was gone already. Wow. Yikes. She was anxious to go. All right. All right. goodness. Could I have my...
Mm-hmm. Yeah? Have your what?
Never mind. I don't want any music for this.
Back?
I would like my breakfast back, and I would like this period of my life where I've been reading from the Mackenzie Phillips story. All right. More breaking news.
Okay.
We're in the... knee-deep in the celebrity stack here. So, Mackenzie Phillips of the One Day at a Time and... Okay, and her papa, of course, of the Mama and Papas. Anyway, ongoing consensual sexual relation.
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Here's some not-so-fun facts. It was her father who first shot her up with cocaine at a very young age.
Oh, yeah. Great. That's actually been out. So, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We've known that.
Mm-hmm. Not good parenting.
No.
I'm going to go on a limb and say that is probably unwise.
You think?
And you're not even a parent.
I don't think Dr. Spock approved of that.
Perhaps Jim should be. He seems to know the basic ground rules.
Yeah. Don't shoot up your kids with cocaine. I mean, that's...
Okay. See, there's a man with boundaries.
Job one.
Okay. Here's some of the dialogue from the new book, High on Arrival. By the way, she'll be on Oprah.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about this. This is perfect for Oprah's show. This is, wow. I see Oprah's ratings going back up.
Mackenzie Phillips!
And you get a shot of cocaine, and you get a shot of cocaine, and you get... She writes in the book, one night, Dad said, we could just run away to a country where no one would look down on us. There are countries where this is accepted practice, maybe Fiji. Before his death in 2001, Mackenzie confronted him about the abuse, saying to him, we have to talk about when you raped me. Her father reportedly replied, you mean when we made love?
Oh, God!
When we made sweet love, when we were high.
I'm going to be like, by the end of the show, I'm going to be like that character in South Park. I'm just going to...
Man, that one made me puke.
I'm just going to have an involuntary...
Yeah.
She also claims in the interview that Rolling Stones singer Mick Jagger cornered her once and said, I've been waiting for this since you were 10.
Feet on the stairs. I know you're no scare ride, honey. There'll be a feast if you just come upstairs. But it's no hanging matter. It's no capital crime.
Okay.
Maybe that song was based on...
Mackenzie Phillips, what you'll recall, was arrested in 2008 at Los Angeles International Airport on suspicion of cocaine and heroin possession. Here's the thing I never understand.
What?
That no matter how high you are, don't you realize you can't take your drugs on the plane? You can't travel with your drugs. What?
What? Well, we're high in planes.
Those dogs
so
at the airport
well
aren't pets, you
be
morons.
High in the plane.
Yeah, but those dogs aren't always there.
Oh, I see. I see what you're picking up. What you're putting down.
You takes your chances.
I don't want no IDs.
You pays your orbits money and you takes your chances.
Exactly.
With your blow and your smack. Okay. Wow. That's quite a. That's a. You know what? You don't hear that every day
family
in a
values
celebrity memoir.
No, you don't.
Those are some family values.
Oh.
More important in the Celebrity Stack breaking news, it's official. Heather Locklear is going back to Melrose Place, everybody.
Oh,
hooray!
My God.
Woo!
Broadcast television is saved.
Yay! She will return on the November 17th episode of the CW version of Melrose Place. She will reprise her role as the scheming ad boss Amanda Woodward, who was last seen faking her own death in the 1999
That's
finale
right
of the original Melrose Place. Oh, my God. Everything's suddenly right with the world again. That has magically cleansed the Mackenzie Phillips story from my palate.
I remember when she was the Bearware girl, the UCLA catalog of, you know, sweatshirts and whatnot. She was on the cover of the... Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. She modeled.
Oh, by the way, speaking of shocking and vomitous...
What?
Oh, my God.
I finally saw the video of Tom DeLay on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah. Oh, God, that was great.
Oh!
Oh, it was hilarious.
Oh! With him shaking his ass at the camera.
Oh,
the...
with the sweats and the little dance shoes. That was pretty hilarious.
Teeny but tiny little dance shoes.
Oh.
But I thought he did pretty well.
Oh.
For, you know.
Spandex.
With some kind of a broken foot.
Tom DeLay's ass. That should be... I mean, is that even legal?
Hey, whatever keeps him out of politics.
R&B singer
Maya. She was in the movie version of Chicago. She was Lipschitz.
I beg your pardon?
Excuse me?
She was Lipschitz.
I believe I heard that on that radio. Roger Hedgehog show.
Cock.
Excuse me?
Roger Hedgehog.
I think that was in Screech's book, wasn't it?
At any rate, she cut her hand on a glass. She was injured, and I was going to say I assumed it was because Drunky McPikachu fell on her.
Yeah.
Or, you know, got in a bar fight with her at Barfi's Bar and Grill, where he spends a great deal of time. By the way, Senator Lisa Murkowski, Republican of Alaska, Republican senators were asked if they saw Tom DeLay Dancing with the Stars. She said she saw a picture. When asked if it was pretty, she said merely, no.
She says no.
He makes even Republican congresswomen barf.
Yes.
All right, 43 minutes after the hour, a skosh more celebrity stack, including Kardashian-type news.
Oh. It's kind of a letdown after the Mackenzie Phillips story.
Listen, I'm sure there'll be some other tidbit from Mackenzie Phillips' story by the time we get back as
well.
You're
not implying that they slept with Robert Kardashian, are you?
What?
Would be,
no. No.
No.
No. But it does involve a more unwise decisions by celebrities, which will make you feel better about your own life. All right, 43 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Remember, you heard it on this channel first.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
No. Bad things happen there.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. You can come live blog with us at stephaniemiller.com. Somebody playing an edition of Missing the Point Entirely on the Mackenzie Phillips having an ongoing relationship with her father.
Yeah, Flambe on the live blog says, people with boundaries do not mix Paisley with Nehru.
Okay. I think...
Nehru.
That was about John Phillips.
Yes.
May have been the least of his problems, his fashion faux pas. George and Tempe on the Mackenzie Phillips story. Hey, George.
Ooh, this is so creepy. You know, Jeff Sessler, the guy she was about to marry, you know, she just didn't have good taste in men. I'm not sure if John did that to her, if she just did that to herself. But I've known Jeff Sessler for years. His daddy... Jim, you'll love this. His daddy, Freddie Sessler, was Keith Richards' drug dealer for years.
Oh, that's familiar.
All in the family there.
And Jeff, you know, I know that Jeff told me stories about how the kind of drugs they did together, too. He was, when I was on the Stone Store in 81 and 82 in 1990, we were in Japan in 1990, and all Jeff could do was, and Jeff and Freddie could do was plot to figure out how they could get somebody to dupe someone into flying ounces of cocaine into Tokyo.
Wow.
May I just say, though, I know this is kind of a sliding moral scale, but as a business move, if you're going to be someone's drug dealer, being Keith Richards is probably a good business move.
It wasn't that gig, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, if you have to be somebody, so I'm just saying, you know. Okay, speaking of unwise decisions, thesuperficial.com, one of our favorite purveyors of snark, says, because life's so short, you should fill it with as many bad decisions as possible. Khloe Kardashian is really marrying her new boyfriend, Lamar Odom, this Sunday, according to E! News. Oh. He's an L.A. Laker. They've been dating like a month.
So you've got a prenup.
I live by that. I'm trying to cram as many disastrous decisions as possible into small space. I'm going to be reading that Mackenzie Phillips book all weekend because it'll make me feel better about my life.
Oh, boy.
All right. Jim, a celebrity has lost her underwears. Squeezy to the rescue, please. Scary Spice has lost her panties.
Oh, my. Oh, my, my, my.
She had to go without underwear when she arrived back in the UK. She was left without any luggage after she flew from L.A. To meet with her former Spice girlfriends last week in Britain. Luckily... Don't you love when this happens? She happens to be an underwear model for a lingerie company.
Wow.
So they were able to send another set over, toot sweet, to her hotel.
I wonder who made off with the luggage. I never tell. Hey, now.
Okay. Hey, here's some good breaking movie news, by the by. George Clooney getting ready to direct Matt Damon in an Aaron Sorkin script called War on Terror. It's
That sounds good.
I know. It's called Hamdan versus Rumsfeld. It's the, he's the, you know, Osama bin Laden's driver.
Oh, yeah.
It's about the so-called War on Terror, but set in a courtroom. Damon will play the chauffeur's lawyer. The case, of course, was resolved in 2006, concluding with a U.S. Supreme Court ruling in Hamdan's favor. So
that sounds great.
All right. Exactly. Dave Matthews, CNN asked him about President Carter's comments that a lot of the animosity directed toward President Obama is race-related. Dave Matthews said, of course it is. I found there's a fairly blatant racism in America that's already there.
I don't think
I noticed it when I lived here as a kid. I just see it everywhere now. There's a good population of people in this country that are terrified of the president, not only because he's black, even though that they don't say it. I think a lot of them behind closed doors do say it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Dave Matthews.
He would know from racism.
Yes.
Racism.
All right. The White House kept insurance companies squarely in its sight yesterday as the push for health care reform by releasing research showing, check this out, that U.S. health insurance premiums have risen far faster than inflation in every U.S. state. If you think this statistic is okay, then we'll stick with the status quo, I guess. U.S. states have experienced premium growth. That's your insurance premiums.
Mm-hmm.
Of 90% to nearly 150% in the last past decade. If you think that's fair profit, Okay.
Well, at least it's not socialized medicine. Mm-hmm.
While wages have risen 38% and inflation by 28%, in every state, premiums have increased faster than wages, and in every state, family budgets are consumed by increasing share of health care premiums, the report said. Vice President Biden said the status quo of rising premiums is simply unsustainable for families, for businesses, for state budgets, and for our national economy. Everybody's talking about the new Funny or Die. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
The first thing you always say is, how did they get all those people to do that? Will Ferrell's in it and a bunch of other...
Well, Will Ferrell kind of owns Funny or Die, so that's how they got him to do it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's just that you see all these sort of surprising people, but it's hilarious. It's an ad. It's an ad for the healthcare companies.
Mm-hmm.
Something terrible is happening.
Something terrible is happening.
Health insurance executives are getting a bad rap.
As the healthcare debate heats up,
we need to remember who the real victims are.
Health insurance executives.
People are saying a lot of mean things about health insurance companies and their executives. And it's got to stop.
These great businessmen are American heroes.
So why is Obama trying to reform healthcare when insurance companies are doing just fine, making billions of dollars of profit?
Obama, why?
Insurance companies need our support because they keep our selfish priorities in check when we can't.
Please, doctor, my daughter's dying. She needs medication.
Think about somebody else for once.
If my kid falls off his bike and breaks his leg, he should have to pay that money out of pocket, out of his allowance.
How else is he going to learn not to fall off that bike?
Hilarious. It goes on, isn't it? There's more.
That's all CNN played yesterday. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right.
All right.
Melanie in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the Mackenzie Phillips story. Hello.
Stephanie, I have to tell you, I literally really did get sick when you read that Mackenzie Phillips story. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah,
I was
me too.
Drinking my coffee and my stomach went, and it was so disgusting. This can't be real.
Yeah, I know my show probably does that to you on an ongoing basis anyway, but that one, right, was particularly, ooh.
No, I'm not kidding. I'm having trouble right now, seriously.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I apologize. I just, it's a newscast. I have to report the news, Mel.
Okay,
bye.
Think how many people are getting misdiagnosed with Schwein flu after having read that story.
Yeah.
It's bad enough just the concept, but then when you start getting into the details and the dialogue, it's, oh, dear God, it's a, whew.
John Phillips was a bit of a bastard, wasn't he?
What?
Yo, you mean the time we made sweet love.
Ah!
Yeah! I just threw up in my mouth a little
bit. Have another shot.
Oh. Right. Hey, speaking of things that make you yak, Senator Max Baucus on his... healthcare bill.
The mark for us today is a balanced, common-sense plan that takes the best ideas from both sides.
Yeah.
It's designed to get the 60 votes that it needs to pass.
Yeah. And it'd be completely worthless. It'll do absolutely nothing.
Oh, please, vote for my bipartisan gruel, won't you?
Yeah.
I still don't get it. He's not getting any Republican votes anyway. Even Senator Snow, is that this who we're doing this all for? I called for slowing down work on crafting a health care bill.
But she it's bipartisan.
She said it's critical to find a solution to health care issues, but called for putting thoughtful deliberation ahead of an arbitrary deadline.
Yeah. How many years of thoughtful deliberation?
Yeah. Especially when a lot of Republicans have been fairly, what's the word? I don't know, transparent about the fact that they just want
to destroy Obama.
Yes, they don't want health care reform. They want Democrats and the president to lose. Senator Robert Menendez, Democrat of New Jersey.
I believe we need to ensure a level playing field for every consumer. And that's why I'm a strong supporter of a strong public option.
Senator Menendez again.
We have to make the insurance exchange more affordable for average working families.
If you just heard those statistics I just read, I mean, that's the thing you've got to know. If you have insurance of any kind, it just goes up and up and up. There are no checks and balances on it of any kind, and that's what a public option does. All right, we have a rollicking right-wing world today, and we have a celebrity guest host, Carl Frisch, senior fellow at Media Matters for America, to slog through right-wing world with us next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, if you want to take time out from the Mackenzie Phillips book making you sick,
yeah,
look at pictures of some of the signs at these 9/12 rallies and the like.
Yeah.
And it'll make you, wow, proud to be an American. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Yeah, somebody emailed me at the StephanieMiller.com some of the signs. Amnesty is, you know, in written with a circle with a line through it. Except it's spelled A-M-E-N-S-T-Y.
Amnesty?
Was one attempt. Make English America's a fickle language.
A fickle?
Great.
No, someone tried again. No, Amnetty. A-M-N-E-T-Y.
Get a brain, Morans.
Yeah, there's that one. That one I thought you were kidding, Jen. I see it right here. Get a brain, Morans.
Mm-hmm. As in Aaron Moran.
Respect
yes.
Our country, speak English.
And her whole family should get a brain.
R is spelled A-R-E.
Uh-huh.
Respect our country.
Wow.
Written on the back of someone's windshield. This is America, and our only language is English. Language spelled L-A-N-A-G-U-A-G-E. Language. Our language is English.
You know, it's not uncommon for people in Europe to speak four languages fluently. We can't even master our own.
And here. Then the final one. Thank you, Fox News, for keeping us informed.
Informed?
Yes, that's exactly what they've done. They've kept them informed.
If only there was someone that documented this sort of thing for a living. Why, it's Carl Frisch from Media Matters for America. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I was just practicing my language of English.
It is sort of terrifying, isn't it? You write this week, if you get your news from right-wing talk radio and Fox News, you probably think America is being overrun by a hyper-corrupt organized prostitution ring headquartered in the White House.
And some of us are pretty happy about it.
Yeah, right.
No, I'm just worried today because, you know, Obama's speaking at the UN, and he's no doubt about to officially take on his role as the world's socialist overlord.
Yes, exactly. You must have gotten as much hilarity out of the Fox News memo about standards in journalism. After a Fox reporter was caught on camera ginning up the crowd at the 9/12 rally.
Yeah, it's quite funny, and anybody who wants to can find it at MediaMatters.org. But I feel like it was Mad Libs. Like he had this, you know, journalistic ethics Mad Libs sitting around, and he just started filling in the blanks. Because honestly, some of the stuff that's written in here is just hysterical. Like not being part of the story and always being dispassionate. We're not here to make the news or create it. We're here to report on it. I just wonder what network he's watching.
The producer learned, or if you are going to get caught, duck. Make sure if you're on camera, you duck out of frame.
Right. You should never be on camera unless you're a real reporter like Griff Jenkins.
Oh, God. He's a piece of work.
You also talk about that even a lot of conservatives think Glenn Beck is bad for the conservative movement.
Yeah, and that shows you how we're absolutely frightened they are of this nut job. And I don't mean to use the word nut job in a mean way. I mean to say he's crazy.
Yes, in a way that is true.
In a room in lieu of a cell kind of way.
Yes.
But yeah, you've got Joe Scarborough on MSNBC, who's certainly a conservative himself, who started an honor roll for conservatives who are willing to call out Beck's hatred. You know, you've got Mike Barnicle, you've got various talk radio hosts and former presidential speechwriters. You've got Mark Levin, who is beyond crazy conservative.
Yeah.
David Frum.
Yep.
And it's funny because now these people are, you know, the followers of these conservatives are emailing Beck, and Beck keeps on saying, oh, they must be McCain supporters. Because I didn't like McCain.
Yeah, I love it. Do we have that soundbite? Glenn Beck talking about that, yeah, he would have voted for Hillary over McCain, I think.
Right.
Hang on one second.
Yeah.
We have it here somewhere.
Let me do a quick name game thing for you, can I? Just quick responses. Hillary Clinton.
I can't believe I'm saying this. I think I would have much preferred her as president and may have voted for her against John McCain.
Why?
Because I think John McCain is this weird progressive like Theodore Roosevelt was. I think John McCain would have been worse. How about this? I think John McCain would have been worse for the country than Barack Obama.
Oh, my God.
How's that?
Oh, my God, Carl.
How about this? I believe Chupacabra is secretly controlling FEMA in a secret plot to destroy this country from the inside out. How do you think about that, Katie? I swear to God, this guy, it's like he doesn't remember how he reported on his own show. I remember when he was still at his headline news show over at CNN, the most trusted name in whatever they're
calling
news.
Yes.
He described Hillary Clinton as the big B word, whose name was like, whose voice was like nails on the chalkboard. So if that's how somebody describes the person that they'd be happy to vote for, not to mention how, the attacks he made on Obama throughout the campaign and how silent he was about his criticisms over John McCain, what you're seeing right now is a crazy man's effort to rewrite history so that he doesn't seem like a hyper-partisan.
Yep, absolutely. Hey, speaking of crazy, Carl, we do a little thing called Right Wing World. Are you man enough to dive in with us?
I am.
All right, here we go. You know, we watch so you don't have to. Media Matters and us.
Skip right up, get your Republican talking points, get your peanut-sized brains, your brain must be this... What do you think of that? To go on this run!
Carl, Ed Rollins is one of the people talking about how Tea Partiers are just those ordinary Americans, that it's a part of a grassroots...
The key thing here, and this isn't just Republicans, I wish they all were Republicans, these are very unhappy Americans who feel that this president, this administration, is going too far to the left, spending too much money, whether it's health care or the stimulus or what have you, and there is an energy. I haven't seen anything quite like this since the Perot movement in 1992, which is a gigantic, angry group of voters who in turn probably helped elect Bill Clinton.
Carl.
Yes.
Despite all the evidence to the contrary and the memos that we have from right-wing organizations like FreedomWorks, they keep trying to say that this is just some sort of, grassroots uprising.
We have to remember that, they keep on talking about this like a movement. This is what the conservative folks are obsessed with now. I mean, they're in their late 60s. They're mostly white. They watch a lot of late night television, like 3 a.m. So they're obviously deeply consumed with movements of many kinds, mostly bowel. So this is a great obsession of theirs, and I hope that Rollins makes it through it.
Yeah.
All right. Newt Gingrich on the O'Reilly Factor.
If you are a liberal and your number one goal is to have a bigger bureaucracy with more power in Washington, D.C., okay, and we come along with a market-oriented solution that actually makes Washington less important.
So it's ideology, then.
Ideology blocks it.
What is their market-based solution for health care reform, Carl? Have you heard any plan put forward?
Free falafels in the hospital when you're getting your sponge bath.
Yes.
It's interesting that Newt still goes on O'Reilly, and they haven't just broken down into talking about what interns and staffers they'd like to bank.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, this is like Jim just said, this is what we're doing now, a market-based solution. And as this report just said, premiums are up 150% in the last...
I think you have to get it at a supermarket.
Yes.
Yes. That's what he means.
A real market-based solution.
That's what he means. Here is O'Reilly on why the factor is so wildly popular.
Look, you win the debate in the long run, and that's why we've been number one for almost 9 years, with the facts.
Mm.
You win
right.
it with the facts. You don't win it by calling people names. You don't win it by disrupting and being disrespectful to the President of the United States, even if you disagree with him. You don't do that.
And you know how he would never do something like that, Carl.
You pinhead!
Ideological zombie, loony ideologues, cowards, gutter snipes, charlatans, a jerk. I just think he's a weasel. You're a paranoid crazy. You're either a moron or a liar. He's a corrupt midget.
So you see where we do what Media Matters does is just post the actual audio.
Oh, you must have doctored that. I've heard him call people gutter snipes much more than one time.
Yes. We only have a certain amount of time on this show, though.
One thing you can't deny, Carl, as we've been saying on this show, is Fox News is popular. They do have ratings, but we were saying it's exactly the opposite of what he said. It's not because they have facts. It's because it is political porn. It is right-wing infotainment.
I talk to reporters about Glenn Beck's popularity all the time, and I tell them, it's a little bit like NASCAR. A lot of people do turn in for the race. You're right. But a lot of people tune in for the crash.
Yeah.
They're looking for the crazy. With Fox News, are we surprised that there's an audience for, conservative talk radio on television? No.
Right.
They've still got the faces made for radio. there's a reason why they have an audience, because conservatives are always looking for, first and foremost, to have their ideals and their positions buttressed by their media, as opposed to having to do any thought about it, any kind of challenge or rational thought to come back to the conclusion that they made before.
Yep, absolutely. Here is Sean Hannity. You guys have noticed this. Is the patented Fox question. It sort of looks vaguely like journalism, but it's not really. They're putting something wildly inflammatory out there, but just saying they're just asking the question.
General McChrystal delivered this startling assessment to the Secretary of Defense on August the 30th, yet there have been no changes in our military strategy, and it is only thanks to the Post that the American public even knows of the report's contents. So why is a situation that is so paramount receiving so little public attention from this president? Perhaps he's too occupied with passing a health care bill that the American people don't want, as he put national security on the back burner.
Has he? Is he putting national security? Has he put our national security at risk, Carl Schreffrich?
I haven't heard people talk with a question mark at the end of every sentence since I lived in the Valley.
Yes.
Right? Right?
I swear to God, I feel like I'm in Tarzana. I'm sorry. I feel like I'm in Tarzana.
Here's another Sean Hannity question.
Do you think the president is adopting a pre-9/11 mentality? Now, I know those are pretty strong words, but I believe he is. I believe he's weakening our national defenses. I think if you look at Gitmo, mirandizing enemy combatants, cutting back on defense, slowing down our nuclear growth. Mm. It seems to me it's beyond a pre-9/11 mentality.
Oh, Lord. It's pre-9/11 mentality. It's like a World War II mentality.
Yeah. It's almost a Peloponnesian War mentality, isn't it, Carl?
Unfortunately, all those things that were mentioned are things that I think were supported by fairly senior people in the Bush administration.
Yes, you're absolutely right, Carl.
I didn't hear much about George Bush being a pre-9/11er.
Yeah, and you know what? They had a pre-9/11 mentality when it was before 9/11, yes. and then 9/11 happened because they... They
because
missed all the warning signs.
Mentality.
Yes.
Unfortunately, Sean Hannity has a pre-1950 mentality.
Yes.
Oh, and who better to end right-wing world with Carl than Karl Rove?
They think they're incapable of fashioning a policy prescription that can that can reach across party lines and get the support of Republicans. So the only way they can get things done is with Democrats only. That says to me that their mindset is, we've got a left-wing agenda that can't get the support of moderate or conservative Republicans, so therefore we're going to have to, get it with Democrats only. It's a revealing mindset.
No.
Carl, isn't it evidence that even this watered-down piece of bipartisan dreck that Max Baucus has come up with gets no Republican support? Isn't that the best evidence we have that they are not going to vote for anything, any kind of health care reform?
People need to realize that when they hear the word bipartisanship coming out of the Washington Beltway media, it simply means Democrats compromising.
Right.
It never means, regardless of who's in power, Republicans compromising.
Yep.
And if you need any further proof, let Karl Rove talk to you about bipartisanship. That should send your head spinning.
Yeah, that was the Scooby-Doo movement of the day. That concludes another vomitous right-wing world made only better by Carl Frisch from MediaMatters.org. Thanks so much, Carl. See you next time.
Thanks for having me.
All right, there he goes. Carl Frisch.
Harry Truman said, I don't like bipartisans. When I hear a guy's bipartisan, I know he's going to vote against me.
Right. 20 minutes after the hour, back to more snarky Mackenzie Phillips tidbits.
Oh, no. There's more?
The listeners need to get it out of their system.
Is Mama Cass involved?
No.
Oh, Lord. Oh.
20 minutes after the hour, The Stephanie Miller Show.
Makes me sick in a wonderful, wonderful way.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Where the party's at, and you find out if you do that. A place to stay. Get your booty on the bus tonight. Make my day.
25 minutes after the hour. Oh, in case you've just woken up, or whatever. Mackenzie Phillips, she'll be on Oprah today.
Yes.
Talking about how she had a consensual sexual relationship with her father.
Nice.
And, John Phillips from the Mamas.
In my mouth a little bit.
And the Papas.
Valerie Bertinelli will be on as well on Oprah today.
Really?
Making a surprise appearance.
Will Schneider be there?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Moved on?
I don't think so. I think Schneider is still with us. Yeah.
Matt in Iowa, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Mama. I just wanted to thank you that I'll never be able to use the term "Who's your daddy again" with my girlfriend without thinking of Mackenzie Phillips.
Yeah. Yeah. Jim in Chicago on Mackenzie Phillips. Well, not on Mackenzie Phillips, I don't think.
Yeah,
okay, Jim.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, we know that John was married to Michelle and she had an affair with Denny. It turns out the healthiest one of them all was Mama Cass.
That is true.
wouldn't you want to put on the feed bags?
She was so much. She was only addicted to peanut butter and jelly, whatever. Not so bad. All right.
And ham sandwiches.
Ham sandwiches.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. What was that old joke? If Mama Cass would have given the other half of her ham sandwich to Karen Carpenter, they'd both be alive today. That's the old joke. I know. It's tragedy plus time equals. Okay.
I'll never eat again.
Oh, boy. Mm. Okay. And whatever Valerie Bertinelli saw in, which rocker did she marry? Eddie Van Halen.
They had a long, successful.
Yes, she was the healthiest one. She's married to a rock star, and whatever happened there was. Was like, you know.
Whatever became of Bonnie Franklin?
Mayberry. Pardon me?
Whatever became of Bonnie Franklin?
I don't know.
Maybe she'll make a surprise appearance today.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Maybe she's got even better stuff.
Franklin! He has even more stories.
Oh, God.
The Fox News celebrity booking department probably has her number.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, back to healthcare. Catherine in Tucson. Hello, Catherine.
Hi, I'd like to know what these market people are going to do about this. I have a history of cancer, and I've been quoted a minimum of $2,000 a month for insurance with a $5,000 deductible.
Wow.
My income is $24,000 a year, so I don't have insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just wonder what do these market rate people want to do about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Catherine, great story. That's
I think you just die. For the good of the
That's Newt Gingrich's, what did he call it, Jimmy? Market-based solution. That's the Republicans' market-based solution for you. Yeah, guess what? If you're sick.
Kill off all the sick people. That's their market-based solution.
Your health
solution.
Insurance costs more than your income. How's about that? Yeah, again, market-based solutions. Everybody's for, you know, capitalism, yada, yada, yada. But premiums have gone up 150%.
Yeah.
Why? Because they can. Because there's no
competition.
Thank
so
you.
It's not really capitalism.
28 minutes after the hour, back with the latest on the healthcare debate as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I have a drinking problem, and I don't intend to do anything about it.
Gonna go to rehab. No.
Computer says no.
No. Wow.
Yeah.
Mackenzie Phillips rehab, not so much.
Right.
Okay.
You can go to rehab with John Phillips. I said no.
Computer says no.
33 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. President Bill Clinton, on my old friend Larry King's show, was talking about the health care debate. He said, I believe that some of the right-wing extremists who oppose President Obama are also racially prejudiced and would prefer not to have an African-American president. But I don't believe that all the people who oppose him on health care and all the conservatives are racist. I believe if he were white, every single person who opposes him now would be opposing him then. So, you know, he's obviously been through the health care fire.
Right.
Ed knows of what he speaks. Senator John Kerry on the health care.
It is key when we finish this that we are lowering those costs in a way that makes this more affordable for them.
Yeah, that's what the Max Baucus's bill.
Mm-hmm.
did not address cost for low and middle income people. So that's what some of the changes he's been making on that. Senator Kent Conrad, Democrat.
There is no government-run health care in this proposal. No benefit cuts for seniors. No coverage for illegal immigrants. No death panels. No federal funding for abortion services. This is a mainstream proposal.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's a lot too mainstream for my my taste. Senator Olympia Snowe, who says we're going way too fast on this.
It's so important that we are assured of the final estimates by the Congressional Budget Office. The implications of this legislation are simply too broad and monumental to do otherwise.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been trying to do this since Teddy Roosevelt. Mm. So,
Senator Chuck Grassley on the committee, Republican of Iowa.
After all our work, there are a lot of things that I can support in this package.
Good.
But there are also a lot of very significant unresolved issues and provisions that I don't support.
That I need to go lie about once again at town halls if I have an opportunity. Senator John Kyle, let's give it to him to go pole vault right over the top with this.
This
one.
Bill is a stunning assault on liberty, mandating that everyone buy a particular type of insurance defined by Washington, D.C.
Wow. It An is assault a stunning on... assault on liberty. Okay. Wow. Wow. Wow.
Having health care, much too expensive for me to buy, is a stunning assault on my life.
Yeah. Yeah, we are.
Thank you, John Kyle.
Mm-hmm. Unless, of course, you would like to be liberated of your life, in which case it's just fine. All right. Would you like the fun facts on the folks that we're actually trying to negotiate a sensible health care reform bill with? Someone did an exclusive interview in Rolling Stone magazine with Orly Tate, our favorite.
Yes. Oh, boy.
But it's what they make the point in here that we've been making. This is one and the same. This is not the crazy fringe. There are Republican lawmakers that are birthers, that are putting bills for it.
Let them finish.
Yes. That we are not letting them finish their case about the president's ineligibility to be president. In the new issue of Rolling Stone, contributing editor Tim Dickinson investigates how Republican operatives are using pages from Karl Rove's old playbook to run a secret campaign to kill health care reform. In this online exclusive, Dickinson talks with the queen of the more organically formed birther movement, Orly Tate, who explains how Obama-led health care reform is at risk if the birthers win. Much of the noise at the August town halls had nothing to do with health care. Irate birthers who reject evidence of Barack Obama's citizenship turned out in droves to denounce the president as a foreign agent, or as one birther sign in New Hampshire put it, the Trojan horse of Islam.
Oh, boy.
The birthers have been egged on by members of the GOP who have winkingly raised doubts about Obama's birthright, including Representative Bill Posey of Florida, who said, "I can't swear on a stack of Bibles whether he is or isn't." Senator James Inhofe of Oklahoma, who believes birthers, quote, have a point, and said of their crazed fear-mongering, "I don't discourage it." It's easy to understand why. 44% of Republicans believe Obama is foreign-born, with another 20% unsure.
Wow.
According to an August poll, the Republican base and the birther movement are nearly one and the same, according to the poll. Here comes our favorite, the Typhoid Mary of the birther pandemic, Orly Tate. She sounds seriously like she's written by a screenwriter, doesn't
yes.
she?
Yes. Yes.
The Moldova-born, I thought that was the fake place where everyone got killed in the Dynasty finale, wasn't it?
Well, at the wedding, the Moldova massacre?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that's where it occurred, but I guess it's a real place.
Yes.
She is Moldova-born, an Orange County-based attorney, famously also a licensed oral surgeon and real estate agent. I didn't realize she was also a realtor. She has
it's the only thing real about her.
She has filed several lawsuits, as we know, contesting Obama's legitimacy, blah, blah, blah. In an exclusive interview with Rolling Stone, Tate's traced the origins of the birther movement to an article she penned. Appealing to naked Islamophobia, she titled her article, "Osama bin Laden Can Be on Your Next Ballot."
Right.
She says, "I argued that, hypothetically speaking, Osama bin Laden could come to this country, bring hundreds of millions of dollars from Saudi Arabia, put his name on the ballot, nobody's going to check, and he could be elected president." That seems a tad bit of a hypothetical stretch, in that someone probably would have killed him before he could be elected. Tate insists she is not a racist.
Oh, no.
I would not be filing any legal action against any African-American candidate who is legitimate for the position who is not defrauding the nation. Moreover, in one of my lawsuits... Wait till you see who she cites here for her. In one of my lawsuits against Obama, the leading plaintiff is Alan Keyes.
Oh, no.
Who's even crazier than she is?
His skin color is much darker than Obama's.
Ah.
She didn't say
that. She's not racist because he's even more black, you see. Alan Keyes, who's, you know, I think his sanity speaks for itself. Rolling Stone repeats these, she has some wild conspiratorial ravings. Rolling Stone repeats them here not to give credence to any of Tate's fictions, in particular her efforts to link the president to murders and homosexual relationships. Rather, it is to offer readers an unvarnished look at the lunatic foundations that gird the birther movement. Enjoy, and then it has a big long if you care to read all the pile of crazy. Oh, here's one I hadn't heard, Jim. Tate's insists that her car exhaust system has been tampered with.
Oh.
Honestly, she
says... that's what's making her crazy. It's
yeah, her, she, I don't, I'm not, I'm not a car head like you, Jim, but isn't maybe her idols a little high something? She'd just go to Manny Mo or Jack, alternatively, and probably figure
any
out.
Any one of those could help.
No, they're putting carbon monoxide in my car, trying to make me sound crazy. Let me finish!
I asked Tate what her endgame is. What do she and the birthers really want? The answer is the annulment not only of Obama's election, but everything he's achieved while in the Oval Office. That would be her endgame, is everything is hereby retroactively cancelled.
And if you can't prove it with the birth certificate, she'll find something else.
Dan in Boston.
Make the scary man go away.
Dan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on healthcare. Hello, Dan.
Steph, you are the woo man. Let me tell you something. Medicare for all, single payer, Medicare for all. Don't these congressmen and senators realize that we aren't rich and can't afford a reduction of $50 a month for my premiums? Medicare for all, it's very simple.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I know. We've been saying it from day one.
Should have done right out of the box.
Socialism, communism, and don't touch my what's Medicare? Whoa, okay.
No. Okay, 42 minutes after the hour, we do finally have a president that doesn't think global warming is a hoax. He spoke about climate change yesterday. We will talk about that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
All right, this is my show, and it's a serious intellectual hour of discussion, and I want to keep it that way.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Push, push in the bush. Push, push in the bush. Push, push in the bush. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? Do you like it?
Okay, Mackenzie.
Yes. Jim Louise Ward. 46 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
You mean when we made love?
Yeah. No, stop it.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Oh, everybody's talking about the Mackenzie Phillips book. She'll be on Oprah today talking about the fact that she had an ongoing...
consensual.
Relationship with her father, of Papa of the Mama and the Papas.
John Phillips.
Yes. Yeah. Who referred to it as making love.
She was a daddy's girl, I guess. Apparently.
Okay, Jim, okay. Thank you. I said, finally, we have a story that Jim can't really even make any dirtier.
No.
Normally, during the commercial breaks, he makes it even dirtier. There's really...
There's nowhere else to go.
Yeah, you can't.
Nowhere else to go with that. Okay. By the by, I don't know if you heard the other breaking news yesterday. Robert Byrd, Senator Robert Byrd, was taken to the hospital after falling. He's 91, you know.
Yeah.
That's obviously he and Senator Kennedy, the two other votes that I, you know, obviously are, you know, affecting this whole healthcare debate. But he, I didn't realize he had returned to the Senate to vote in July, Senator Byrd. And earlier this month, he gave a floor speech where he talked about the passing of Ted Kennedy. So, you know. They say that he got up too fast and fell, and so I you know, but there's no word on, you know, whether he's been battling a bunch of different infections and things, I guess, in recent months. So, anyway, our thoughts and prayers.
We wish him well.
Mm. All right. So the president was talking about climate change yesterday at the, where was he? What the hell's the name of this thing?
He was
UN?
At the UN.
Yes.
Yes.
At the UN.
It is true that for too many years, mankind has been slow to respond or even recognize the magnitude
of the climate threat. It is true of my own country as well. We recognize that. But this is a new day.
It is. It's a new day. By the way, Jim, you were saying like it's coincidence we're having the worst fire season ever.
Yeah.
By the way, I heard that two old different...
a hoax.
God. Two different people in the big park here in L.A., two different people were bit by coyotes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Griffith Park's having a horrible coyote problem.
Yeah, well, but part of it, it's like the fires and all the,
right.
You know, whatever.
Right, habitat is being destroyed.
Yeah. I was sleeping in Griffith Park, and I woke up, and a coyote was gnawing on him. Okay.
That's not good.
No.
All
right. I see them when I'm hiking with my dog Max sometimes, and they're, there's the children down there. I'm the only one thinking of the children. They're just right in the middle of the day, right down there.
Yes. Oh, somebody please think of the children.
I mostly see rattlesnakes on my hiking path.
Mm.
Isn't that neat?
Those are fun.
Yeah.
Okay. To be a president again.
The United States has done more to promote clean energy and reduce carbon pollution in the last 8 months than at any other time in our history.
All right. He talked about our nation's response to climate change.
Our generation's response to this challenge will be judged by history. For if we fail to meet it boldly, swiftly, and together, we risk consigning future generations to an irreversible catastrophe.
All right. And one last one on complacency.
Difficulty is no excuse for complacency. Unease is no excuse for inaction. And we must not allow the perfect to become the enemy of progress. Each of us must do what we can, when we can, to grow our economies without endangering our planet. And we must all do it together.
Brandon in San Luis Obispo on the gaping hole in talking about Lyndon LaRouche on this show. Hello, Brandon.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. I just have some concerns about where actually America's headed. I know that there's the three-word term that's being thrown around a lot called the New World Order.
It was thrown around a lot in the early 90s.
That was, George Bush Sr.
Are you kidding me? It's being thrown around right now. Like
by whom?
Gordon Brown. If you look at Obama's speeches, it's all over the place. And
I don't think Obama's ever uttered the words New World Order.
What is the New World Order, Brandon?
What is the New World Order?
Yes.
I've heard that, you know, it's going to be an American takeover of a police fascist state.
Of who?
2009.
Who are we taking over?
That's not what that means.
Who are we taking over?
America is going to be turned into a North American Union.
Oh, into a North American Union.
With Canada and Mexico becoming. G2K. Not going to happen.
Okay. Yeah, Obama
has. Make a note of it.
Uh-huh. Obama hasn't mentioned
George Bush Sr.
anything.
Mentioned it.
Yes. Bush Sr. was 90s. Fond of mentioning it.
I haven't, I've seen it on websites since then, but it hasn't been.
Lyndon LaRouche websites, maybe?
Okay. By the way, if you want to feel less crazy, read the Mackenzie Phillips book. Just saying. If you want to feel good about your family and all your relationships.
But don't eat an hour before.
It hits bookstores today, as a matter of fact.
Yes, indeedy-do, it does.
With a thud. Yeah, with a...
I think I may have to watch that there Oprah episode today. Okay. All right. A new poll says, isn't President Obama overexposed?
Mackenzie says no.
No.
He's the president.
Yes, the president. It's his job to talk about stuff, you see. 54% in the NBC News Wall Street Journal poll say they're seeing about the right amount of him. 34% say they see and hear too much of the president. Yeah, it's the same line of attack. There's always a celebrity. He's on. He is de facto the biggest celebrity in the world. He's the president of the United States, for God's sakes. All right. Speaking of polls, as President Obama weighs sending more troops to Afghanistan, the latest NBC Wall Street Journal poll finds Americans are concerned about the progress of the conflict there. Nearly 6 in 10. That's like almost 60%.
Almost 60%, yeah.
Thanks, Jim. Say they're less confident the war will come to a successful conclusion. A narrow majority, 51%, oppose sending more troops to Afghanistan. A majority of Americans, 55%, also oppose, though, an immediate and orderly withdrawal from that war zone.
I'm not really sure what we're hoping to accomplish there. you know, prop up Karzai, who's mayor of like three blocks of Kabul. I mean, that's
but it's a good three blocks, I understand. Well, I think, you know, that's been this latest guessing game is who, you know, the whodunit in Washington, who leaked this General McChrystal report and why. It's basically saying if he doesn't send more troops, then we're going to lose there, which, again, Jim, here we are in the same thing again. What does losing mean and what does winning mean at this point?
And every time we take out some Taliban guy, we tend to take out a couple dozen civilians, too. Not every time, but it's counterproductive.
Yes. Which, much like in Iraq, does not tend to endear us to the population. The simplest theory about the leak of the memo, the one administration officials were endorsing, is that a military or civilian Pentagon official who supports McChrystal's policy put it out in an attempt to pressure Obama to follow his suggestion on troop levels. Other theories, though, florist are believers in the reverse leak, in which the leak itself is meant to damage McChrystal's position by inducing White House anger at the general. Then there's the fake leak, in which the White House may have been trying to back itself into a corner.
On the other hand, if we pull out and then there's a terrorist attack, Obama's going to get the blame for it, and it's a no-win situation.
Right. It, in my opinion, too, is just one of the zillion things that George W. Bush bollocked up to such a degree by letting Osama bin Laden get away.
We had him cornered at Tora Bora, and he let him get away.
I mean, that's the thing I'm not sure people remember, is him and the leader of the Taliban. Mm-hmm. Those were the two guys obviously considered most responsible for 9/11. We don't know where they are. They're, you know.
And then the Army Rangers were poised to get bin Laden in the cave, and they were ordered to stand down.
Yeah. So,
they still don't know why.
Yeah, but anyway, I think that's what the president is doing, is trying to figure out what our strategy is. He said the other day, I don't know if sending more troops is going to keep America safer exactly. We have to figure out what exactly the end game is there. Overall, in this poll, Obama's approval rating at 51%. Check this out, though. A combined 77% say they like the president personally. Even if they don't agree with all his policies, 56% have a positive view of him. I was saying that as I was watching him the other day. I was just like, I like him. Yeah. I just like him. He has a massive amount of problems that I think he's doing the best he can with. And we're still only, what I think people forget is we're still only like 8 months in here. Mm-hmm. Democrats for now receive a 41%, 39% positive negative rating versus a 28% negative, 43% positive, 28% positive, 43% negative for the Republican Party. Hmm. So, you know, Jim, I agree with you. If they would just grow a big, giant set of and get health care reform, I think, you know, those numbers can change, too. I think right now the Republicans are dragging Democrats down with them, congressionally speaking. Let's go to Will in Mississippi on General McChrystal. Hello, Will. Hello, Will.
Hey, Stephanie. I just want to let you know that it's pretty commonly known in military circles. McChrystal would really like his mail delivered to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Yeah.
President, and that's why this got leaked.
Okay.
Interesting.
Huh.
Yeah. That's the thing. I don't know. There's so many different theories. I'm not sure. I'm not sure it matters. Some people are saying that the White House may have done it just to get it out there, to have the discussion about Afghanistan and what we're supposed to do, because, you know, they know that politically it's not a popular thing right now.
Could be.
All right. Bill Clinton expressed shock at the news that the Dick Armey said nice things about him.
Dick Armey, of course, formerly known as
Penis Air Force.
Yes.
I'm sorry, it was Schwanz Coast Guard.
Yes.
Pardon us. Both George W. Bush
and Schmeckel Marine Corps.
Both George W. Bush and Barack Obama have made me appreciate Bill Clinton a lot more than I did. I think President Clinton was more involved, more responsibly, and more ably in his job as president than what we've seen since him. He deserves more credit than I gave him at the time. Oh, that's nice of him to say now. Clinton responded, Dick Armey said something nice about me the other day. I almost had another heart attack. All right. Hump days with Hal. And stand-up news.
For you, it's more like dry hump days with Hal.
Uh-huh. Hal Sparks and stand-up news. Ooh, two things to get excited about next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show. I'm walking on sunshine. Well, I'm walking on sunshine. Well, and I feel good. Hey, I'm right now. And I feel good.
Oprah's on with the Mackenzie Phillips.
Oh, Lord.
6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Hey, guess what? StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can come live blog with us. You can get tweeted by Chris LaVoy, and who hasn't, frankly?
That's right. What? Huh?
You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Emmy award-winning voice deity Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller, like Bethany in Reno did. Staff, I was sitting in a board meeting discussing tourism in Reno when someone brought up a big event this weekend where Minikiss will be performing. I almost spit out my coffee and laughed right in the middle of this oh-so-serious meeting. I was hoping to catch someone else frantically searching for your email address to send you the news. But perhaps their minds were on the tourism discussion and not on Stephanie Miller's fascination with little people bands. So this Friday, everybody, Minikiss in Reno. Woo! I must get a babysitter, or maybe my two-year-old could blend in with the band on stage, and then I could enjoy the concert and watch her at the same time.
Oh, the baby city is where Minikiss lives.
Huh? Right. Oh, Bethany. Whee! Love us, the minibands. All right, and somebody sent me a, could I have a wedding organ, please? Someone sent me a future husband, man arrested without pants at laundromat. See, Jim, before I even get to the story, I'm thinking, his pants were being washed.
I don't go to the laundromat anymore. I have a washing machine at home.
This makes perfect sense to me. Authorities in Florida said a homeless man arrested outside a laundromat told deputies he wasn't wearing pants because they were inside being washed.
Being washed, sure. Makes perfect sense.
He was spotted outside a coin-operated laundry with nothing on below the waist, but a jean jacket that was not completely covering his genitalia. That's a look. Got to give him to him. That's a look. At this time, there were several adults and small children walking around the plaza in and out of the coin-operated. Nobody there thinking.
Almost like growing up in the Miller household.
Nobody thinking of We were comfortable with our nakedness in our family. Not all the time. My parents just let us hang out with them in the bathroom
hang
or whatever.
Out. Yes, well, that's
okay.
Precisely the problem.
If I want, listen, I'm no Mackenzie Phillips. It's just if I wanted to watch Daddy shave or whatever, it was okay. Okay, suddenly I'm the Mackenzie
shave
Phillips
what?
Of talk radio now. The report, this is where I knew this was coming. The report said the man appeared impaired and had been drinking from a glass of what smelled like alcohol, which would explain why the lack of his pants seemed to make perfect sense to him. Oh, speaking of future husbands, that's why. Why is she ringing a doorbell when he's already here? Hi, Hal Sparks.
Hi. Speaking of not wearing pants.
Hal Sparks is here without pants on. Hello,
well,
Hal.
You know, I just figured I would just cut to the chase. I mean, it's, you know, I've been bandying around, you know, long enough. We must,
Comedian Hal Sparks in the house. Mm-hmm. Have you heard about the Mackenzie Phillips story yet?
I have. It ranks right up there with, like, why am I supposed to give a crap? You know what I mean? It's one of those things that, like, at a certain point, people have to get so much emotional and psychological diarrhea that they just have to spill everything in their life.
Yes.
I got a house payment, so I'm going to whip out a book. I got to save my big secrets for that stuff.
It's, yeah.
You know.
Here's the part that stuck out at us is here's how you really, really know that you have a drug problem is she is not aware if she had had sex with her father before. She's like, she knew that. At one point she was, but she wasn't really aware if we hit a... It's not something that, you know, would stick in your memory, apparently.
Right. Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. Well, it was the 70s, you know? Or did this
listen, you can say, can excuse a lot of things by
forgetting
the 70s.
You can be forgiven forgetting the 70s entirely. There was so much controversy about One Day at a Time.
Yes.
That so overshadowed how amazingly, almost embarrassingly unfunny and uninteresting the show itself was.
Yes.
But it was just kind of.
Finally, we have found something Schneider can't fix.
Exactly.
This is
the crappy version of Alice with a member of Sha Na Na thrown in occasionally for comic relief. You know, that's really what it was. It was like, how can we get Bowser on Alice? Because that would be hilarious.
Hilarious.
And it was terrible.
All right, let's check some news we don't want to lose quickly, shall we? Here we go.
Yippee, yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. In news breaks here at Today's Broken, Minority Leader Mitch McGinnis told reporters that Democrats will suffer a severe backlash if they use the procedural tactic of reconciliation, which would allow them to pass reform legislation with 51 votes. He said if that option were chosen, there would be a severe negative, I think appropriate reaction from the American people. If you thought the American people are upset in August, you haven't seen how upset they'll be if this device is chosen. McConnell then acknowledged that he is a big fat hypocrite in that Republicans have used the reconciliation many times in the past to pass tax cuts. So he is, in fact, a yes.
Right-wing hypocrites!
Indeed. Those tax cuts for the top 1%, that apparently was just fine for reconciliation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have Mitch McGinnis.
I'm warning the Democrat Party not to try to employ the nuclear option. I'm referring, of course, to the exotic, bizarre, criminal, unheard-of procedural tactic with the suspiciously socialistical title of reconciliation, whereby a political party would attempt to pass legislation by obtaining, perish the thought, a majority of the votes. The American people will not stand for this barbarism, this chicanery, especially when it's applied to something as trivial as health care reform. American people will rise up in righteous anger at the notion that a political party would foist its will on the people merely because they won an election and received a mandate to promote some kind of agenda which reflects the stated desires of the so-called voters. How dare you, sirs? How dare you? Have you no shame? I am shocked. Shocked that there is democracy going on in this chamber.
Here are your insurance company kickbacks, sir.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. No questions.
He sure knows how to skedaddle, that Mitch McConnell.
Unless he was in Casablanca.
He moves very fast, unlike Senator Jim Bunning, who fell asleep in the chamber during the health care debate, during the health care committee.
Are we keeping you up? Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah, hey, 45,000 people a year dying with no health care. Oh, sorry.
No, whatever.
Oh, sorry. Nap time? Michelle Obama gave her husband the silent treatment at one point in the campaign for president because so many women, quote, pushed their bodies up against his, slipped phone numbers into his pockets, and whispered lewd suggestions in his ear, a new book out today claims.
Cool.
In Barack and Michelle, A Portrait of an American Marriage, Christopher Anderson reports, on more than one occasion, Barack tried not to look startled when some random woman in the crowd would grasp him firmly by the derriere and sometimes try to hold on. Michelle, understandably, was not amused.
I wish they'd stop grabbing my ass.
He said, yeah. Jesus, I wish they would stop grabbing my ass. That's what a great quote. Yeah. Jesus, I wish they would stop grabbing my ass. Oh, I know how he feels.
Yeah.
I do.
We have
just coming here.
Former President Clinton.
Whoa, hold the phone. Now, just wait a minute now. I don't believe what I'm hearing. Women are thrusting themselves at Barack Obama. We're talking about the most powerful man in the world here. And he wants them to stop grabbing his ass. What's more, the wife responds by giving him the silent treatment, and this is a problem. How? Cheese and crackers, what I wouldn't give to get the silent treatment from Hill. My God, you wouldn't believe the nagging I had to endure after the whole Monica thing. Yeah, okay, I get it. My bad. So little Bill got a little free willy time, so the pizza delivery girl wanted to try a new topping. Come on, it's not the end of the world if some stray iron filings get attached to the most powerful babe magnet in the world. I mean, stranger things have happened. Guess the coast is clear. Normally, I've been nursing an iron skillet concussion right now. I think I may have to schedule a diplomatic mission to Martinique to work out... that's another part of the story.
Yeah.
Check out this yummy bit of crumpet Vera Baker. Man, even the name of the island sounds like a hot chick. Sounds like a target-rich environment to me. You'd be on a plane to Africa or something. Oh, guess not.
Yeah, right. There's a whole thing about this Vera Baker girl who
had
to be removed to Martinique because she was getting a little too...
And that's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends.
Frisky about the president.
And that was Jim Ward with, and now, the rest of the story. You know, I can understand why Mitch McConnell is terrified, Hal, of this whole reconciliation thing, because Harry Reid put the smack down. And, you know, there's nothing more terrifying than a warning from Harry Reid.
Yeah.
You better watch it.
I've been smacked down by him.
Harry Reid said, if we can't work this out to do something within the committee structure, we'll be forced to do reconciliation. That's
it. You better watch it. I will issue a strongly worded memorandum.
Yeah, right.
Oh, good.
I'm almost done playing with dolls over in the corner. Just one second.
Cold chill went up my spine.
I know. It's just like a gunslinger with just handles in his belt. It's like, just wiggly, wiggly, wiggly.
Your guns are made of rubber, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're still scary 2 days out of the year. My birthday and Halloween every year.
See, we just don't play politics like Karl Rove. You know this George Bush, the book from Bush's speechwriter? This is the kind of politics that Karl Rove played. Rove told people that one of Barack Obama's potential vice presidential running mates beat his first wife. Karl says it's true. George Bush assured a small group of staffers. Then knowing Karl, he added, well, Karl hopes it's true.
Right. Yeah.
That's like the classic story. Prove mm-hmm. that you're not beating your wife. What?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Leave it to Karl Rove to turn a hack joke into a political premise.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He said, the author of the book said, like all young Republican staffers of the period, he regarded Rove as a bespeckled messenger from the gods.
Sure, and what god would that be? You know, I mean, I'm not a...
One of the fat ones.
Yeah, the god of blancmange.
Right? Yes, yes.
All right, Doug in Amherst, Massachusetts, you're on with Hal Sparks. Hello, Doug, welcome.
Hi. You made a comment about Obama having his job for the past 8 months.
Yes.
And that reminded me that when Bush had his job for 8 months, 9/11 happened. So where were all the national security pitfalls then?
Yeah,
yeah,
thank
but that's,
you.
Yeah, you're supposed to forget about that by now. That's not after 9/11.
Oh, I'm sorry, I have a memory.
Yes, that's your problem. That's you're a bad American.
You're supposed
to
key on the keeping us safe part since then.
Right, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. You're supposed to stay scared, duct tape yourself inside your house, vote for everything he says without questioning it, and go shopping. Mm-hmm. I guess online, since you're duct taped inside your house.
Lynette in Minneapolis on our second favorite subject this morning besides Mackenzie Phillips, and that is Orly Tates. Hello, Lynette.
Hi, you guys. Hey, did you know that, Hal Sparks, he did such a great job when you guys were gone.
Aww.
I heard this.
You found the perfect guy. I love you, Hal.
Oh, gosh. I've been telling her she's found the perfect guy for so long, and she just isn't back by it.
Who doesn't want to, Hal? Come on, you're so cute. My God. Anyway, wow, now I'm completely off track.
See? This is what he does to me. I get all befuddled.
I saw his picture on the web. I understand. Okay, so the thing with Orly Tates, this woman is from Moldova, Russia. Okay, Moldova, Russia has the worst human trafficking besides Turkey in their country. They did a whole show on it on PBS. This guy's best friend sold his wife for $2,000 into it. It took the husband 3 years to find her.
Oh, that is awful. You can get
that
a lot more
cheaper
for
than a plane
a
ticket.
Wife.
You don't know. Don't say that. It is cheaper than plane ticket. It costs $3,500 to fly to United States, so I come in an oil drum. What is the problem? I meet a nice man. I bury him in the backyard. I live off of his corpse for 6 months, and now I am an oral surgeon,
a
lawyer, a realtor, and I also fix bicycle. You know nothing.
Lynette, have you never heard of that particular combination? Is it like, do you have an impacted molar? Do you need a condo? It's like, what?
Do you need malpractice insurance from yourself?
What? All right, Mick in Louisville, Kentucky on Mitch McChinless. Hello, Mick, welcome.
Yeah, I love it when you talk about old Ditch Mitch. You know, he actually represents the state of Kentucky at a Senate level, and Kentucky consistently hovers around 48th in the nation in schooling for its children.
That's
not including Hawaii or Alaska, so let me see. That's, almost hovering around last. Mm-hmm. We're high in cancers and heart rates. The state is broke, and yet he's meant to give advice.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
Yeah.
Point taken.
I'm going to go from that accent that he's not an original Kentuckian. No. But then, of course, I am, and you couldn't tell from my accent. So it's a very strange that, you know, that's obviously this guy, me, George Clooney, Johnny Depp.
I know.
A lot of Kentuckians, worth it.
I know.
And none of them in office. I don't understand it. Kentucky, consistently some of the dumbest politicians in the country.
20 minutes after the hour, back with more with comedian Hal Sparks. Yeah, it's Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it's a cross between beautiful and gross. I want to cry and vomit.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
from Top Gun coming up on the Celebrity Hotline.
Yeah.
Anthony Edwards, who I went to USC Drama School with.
And who visited me at my first radio job there in Santa Barbara. Oh,
He is at the Clinton Global Initiative. He's going to talk to us about what all is going on there. And I think dated a friend of mine. I'm going to find out all kinds of stuff about college because I don't remember any of it. I was here's a fun fact. I was the least successful of anyone in that class. I was I graduated with Ali Sheedy and Eric Stoltz and Anthony Edwards. And
I would say no, you're not. Then you're still gainfully employed.
Okay.
I think there's a couple of them hit some ruffle points.
Richard in Austin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Not that the fly too wasn't lovely.
Yeah, I wanted to say something about Senator John Cornyn. Is he condemned President Obama for sending unsolicited emails to people about health care? And I got one from him yesterday just full of lies and called his office and basically blew me off. And I think we need to start fighting fire with fire on this whole health care thing. If Glenn
Beck's
going to
Well, if you want to see emails full of lies, check out one of some of those Dick Grams. Dick Morris sends you that one or the Dick Army ones. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, I've just decided I'm going to start sending, like, since the insurance companies are forging documents and forging letters from people, I've decided I'm going to start doing that as well or whatever, but from major cartoon characters.
Now, there's a very funny thing we played earlier on Funny or Die about the, it's the ad for the health insurance industry.
Right.
You did a very funny Eric Cantor on Funny or Die.
Only because he's, like, one step down from Pat Robertson. He's got that kind of whiny, you know, weirdly sad all the time kind of voice. It's really irritating.
So get this.
Apple bobbing up and down.
Yeah, right.
Get this. The headline is Majority Leader Hoyer to reach out to GOP's Cantor on health care so that he can get his hand broken off again.
Right. And so and this is the guy who yesterday told that woman that was uninsured and had cancer that there were some government aid programs she should look into and if that doesn't work, there are some charities she can.
Yeah, maybe some neighbors or something will have a little.
There's
potluck.
Just no way to polish cull the herd, is there?
Really I don't get this. Steny Hoyer said, I'm going to be reaching out to a number of Republicans over the next day or so. We are certainly more than willing to pursue any suggestion they may have. Yeah, Steny Hoyer, here's the suggestion they have, and that will be you can shove health care up your ass. That's, that's the suggestion
the
they'll
Dick
have.
Cheney suggestion.
Yeah, what's this? Yeah. An amendment that says go to hell, and hell isn't even spelled right. What is this? Why is it on a placard? Like all the amendments are handed them with a stick attached.
Yeah, they have voted against every piece of health care legislation and been against every single idea. So good luck with the reaching out. All right. Anthony Edwards, actor extraordinaire. He's my classmate from USC Theater. Hit the Clinton Global Initiative in New York. We'll talk to him next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Is she a heavy drinker?
We're all heavy drinkers.
33 minutes after the hour. At least I ended up being good at something. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Yeah, I remember I used to watch ER, Hal Sparks, and say, wow, there's Anthony Edwards. There's one of the people I was in USC Theater with that's way more successful than I am.
Oh, and at least the show didn't run for very long, so you didn't have to.
At least you didn't make any money off of that. Here's how much more successful he was than I am. He probably doesn't even know that he was in USC Theater with me. Do you, Anthony Edwards? Good morning, sir.
I remember every moment.
How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thanks.
Do you really remember being at USC Theater with me?
Of course.
Yeah, right.
You know what? My wife has to remind me the names of my cousins.
I graduated, 1983. What about you?
Well, I didn't graduate, so you did better than I did.
Oh,
see what
a loser.
Yeah, 80 and 81, I guess.
Yeah, see what a loser you turned out to be by not getting your degree.
I know.
You have to take me back for a second. So we were at USC Theater at the same time as Ali Sheedy and Eric Stoltz, and they were dating then, right?
That's right. I was sharing an apartment with Eric at the time.
I remember that.
Yeah, no, it was crazy.
And you dated my friend Terry McMahon, right?
Exactly. I do remember you, Stephanie. I'm just joking.
All right. More importantly, I do a little fart joke radio show now, and you are at the Clinton Global Initiative.
Yes.
Speaking about, are you, because I know they're talking about poverty and climate change. What are you there doing?
Well, you know, well, here for selfish reasons. I'm actually now trying to build the first public children's hospital in Kenya.
Oh, wow.
So we've got an organization that deals with, we empower women through running, through the sport of running. And we, on a side note, are raising money to build this hospital. So this Clinton Global Initiative is a place where, you know, world leaders, big heads of big corporations, and, you know, us, you know, celebrity wannabe, you know, goodwill ambassadors are trying to get our stuff done, too.
Wow, good for you. We just talked to Reverend Jesse Jackson there earlier, who's, you know, trying to get these American hikers out of Iran. And so it sounds like quite the hubbub going on there in New York at the Clinton Global Initiative. All the movers and shakers are there.
Yeah, it's kind of exciting. I mean, I definitely try to stay seated because I know someone's just going to ask me to go get them a drink or something.
I don't think that's true. Might I ask what you're working on showbiz-wise? Because I kid you, but I am a huge fan, always have been.
Well, I've taken a bit of a break, and we moved here to New York and been raising the kids. I have four kids now, so that's been taking a lot of time. But I started working again. I did a movie with Rob Reiner this summer, and I actually have a movie with Uma Thurman coming out in October called Motherhood.
Can't wait.
But, yeah, most of my time has been spent going back and forth to Africa and working on this project, so.
Wow.
Good. I'm running the New York City Marathon on November 1st. And,
wow.
People want to sponsor me, they can go to our website, which is Shoe for Africa, which is the singular shoe and the number four in Africa. And, you know, we feel like if we can get 500,000 people to give $10, the hospital's built. So why not try that way instead of having to send me to these kind of things and beg, you know, Coca-Cola to give us $1 million?
Right, right. Well, good for you for giving back like that. You know, in that spirit, in that socialist spirit, Anthony, don't you think that, like, let's just say some USC graduates have lots of residuals from things like ER. Wouldn't they like to share with lesser successful USC graduates? Like, oh, I don't know.
Stephanie Miller.
Could we set up some sort of website for that?
Stop it.
Yeah, we can run. I'll run the first mile of the marathon for you, Stephanie.
There's people like and Forrest Whitaker went to college. Just saying, there's a, you know, as the least successful member of that class, I'm just saying I could use a little help as well.
You know, your self-deprecation is not flying with me.
No, not at all.
lot of people who'd love to have your show, Stephanie.
Yes, well, listen, and they will probably have it.
No.
Anthony, what else is going on at the Clinton Global Initiative? Who else is speaking, and what's the buzz from there?
Well, there's all kinds of different, they have different sessions where they have concentrations on different you know, issues. I'm actually on my way to go up to women's empowerment breakout session, they call it. So they get, you know, 50 people together, and they separate into tables and address specific problems, and then trying to get something out of the actual people coming together. So it's there is actually a lot of work being done, and then it all gets kind of put into a format and then shared with everybody who's working on it. So,
I mean, it is amazing, you know, the attacks aimed at the President Obama right now, and then you know, but you remember back how vicious it was against Bill Clinton. But really and truly, he has done a lot of good since he's been out of office, hasn't he?
Yeah, a lot. And you know, they always joke about how it's their life is better now that they're, you know, ex-presidents, and it probably is. I mean, he is having a tremendous impact, just like Jimmy Carter has had, and you know, there's so many ex-presidents. Well, there are some ex-presidents that are having good impact.
Your thoughts about George Bush and his the enormous good he's done since he left?
He's had a great time in the cul-de-sac.
It's nice that he's just being quiet. I like that. Yeah,
exactly. The website is shoeforafrica.org, correct?
Yeah, that's it, Stephanie. Thank you.
Anthony, thanks so much for taking time for me, and we'll see you at the college reunion.
Good, and we'll talk again maybe around the marathon.
Okay, that'd be great.
All right,
there he goes. Anthony Edwards,
yay.
Goose! It's Goose from Top Gun, everybody. Oh, God, I've never gotten over when Goose died. Oh, I was just sobbing with Meg Ryan. Oh, Goose. Okay.
Yeah.
He was very nice.
He was lovely. And he took your false lowered self-esteem and he bought it entirely for like nearly 3 minutes. I love how you're like...
It was nice to talk about who was dating who in college because, as we know, even then, I was dating a nobody because...
You were dating gay guys.
I was about 30 pounds heavier. No, I don't think I turned anyone gay, as far as I know.
So you look normal. Okay. you were 30 pounds heavier. And you
I was a sophomoresaurus.
You were not.
Yeah.
No.
Cha.
No.
Okay.
You
all right.
Stephanie's late for class again.
Buddy in Columbus, you're on with Hal Sparks. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Mook, Steph, Hal.
Hey.
You know how great it is to watch Obama at the UN?
Yeah.
And have a leader who I honestly, like, I tear up. He's going to peace between the Israel and Palestine, get rid of nuclear weapons. And unlike the unelected idiot before...
He seemed equally annoyed at both Israel and the Palestinians, which I thought was refreshing.
Yeah.
The guy before was literally like the kid at the birthday party that you gave chocolate pudding to with a spoon, and you knew it's going to be all over his face and the,
yes.
like this. You watched him in front of the UN, and they were just like, yes, we like this guy.
Yeah, Bush had a hard time giving a speech without his mouth being full. There, that, you know, when he's leaning back at the G8 summit.
Oh,
you know,
God, I know.
Yeah, you know what they need to do is get Israel and Palestine to stop doing this. You know, get
and I love the hey player.
Beep. Yeah,
oh.
Hey player.
Yes, we talked about the book in which it talked about how well liked Barack Obama was by the ladies during the campaign, and how you're. You know, you're aware of this.
Sure,
you have
sure.
Your groupies as well. But here's something I didn't know. As you know, I think I've pinched your ass. I've pinched everyone's ass in here, actually.
Yeah.
But I'm not aware of the technique of the clamping on that the president spoke of.
Oh, full-on cupping that happens.
He said that they would grab and not let go.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was not aware of this technique.
Oh, I mean, it's a thumb and middle finger kind of a circumstance.
Really? Like a bowling ball situation.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's not a one-sided thing. It is not just for women.
Huh.
And as a matter of fact, women are better at it.
I've never had the clamp. I've had the pinch. I've had the grab. I've had the...
That's because guys aren't as good at it. Women are much better at it. Because, you know, like, whatever, what does it say? The women, 60%, you know, of women cheat in a relationship and men are like 35%. It's not because we wouldn't, it's because we can't do it well. Women are so much better at it. I literally shake hands with someone at a show, like, I'm a line of people going by, thanks for coming, blah, 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 like I'm a stewardess. And a woman will shake my hand and I'll come away with, like, a piece of paper folded into origami with her phone number, directions to her house, and basically like a cartoon of herself in a provocative position that she drew on a napkin at the table. And I feel like a mobster has just given me a tip, like, here you go, kid, a little something for you. and the dude has no idea. It's hilarious, you know, so it doesn't surprise me that they, you know, were carrying him around like a six pack.
I'm just curious what the Secret Service protocol is there. Do they peel one finger at a time off the butt lock on the president? Or
walk up and taser these women?
Do they grab her whole hand, whereby then their hand would technically be on the president's ass as well?
Right, I touched the president's backside and I fell up. It was electric. You were being tasered, ma'am.
42 minutes after the hour, back with more with comedian Hal Sparks, live in studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
So, who is responsible for these outrages?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Just discussing my loser life during the break with comedian Hal Sparks. Although, Chris, yours is worse. Your birthday, your best friend took you out to dinner, and the restaurant wasn't even open yet. You had to go so early.
We had to get the earliest reservation possible, which was 5:30.
Yeah, and I'm going with the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money.
Uh-huh.
That's my birthday, and it's going to be, I said, 5. It's got to be 5.
Yeah, it's got to be 5.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
She could be in a coma by 6:50. Mm-hmm. Right. That's so sad.
I was telling you last week, I was talking to a friend on the phone, and she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, I'm just, you know, finishing my show prep and, you know, getting ready to go to sleep. And she's like, Stephanie, it's 5:45. Like, your point is?
Yeah, that's our schedule.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Uh-huh.
I was at a Humane Society event till 2 o'clock last night.
Oh,
wow, an hour before we get up.
Right. yeah. Could have nudged you.
Mm. Here's the good news. None of us are Mackenzie Phillips. I think this is the important thing.
And none of us have had sex with Mackenzie Phillips' father, you know, which is something we also, you know, can say that she can't.
Yes. Chris, I may have to alter my schedule today to watch Oprah, which I know will throw me way off, but this is a story. This is a... Actually, love stories would be fine. I suppose it's a love story of sorts. The new Mackenzie Phillips book, in case you haven't
What's it called?
It's called Hang
Who's
on
Your
one
Daddy?
Second. No, that's...
Bank it.
Hal Louise.
High on Arrival.
Sparks. High on Arrival. is the name of the book.
Wow.
It was her father who first shot her up with cocaine at a young age. Oh, okay.
Hmm.
It's out today, the tell-all book. She engaged in a long-term incestuous relationship with
her. Just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
She was already a star on One Day at a Time when her father had sex with her the night before she was to get married. On the eve of my wedding, my father showed up determined to stop it. I had a ton of pills. Dad had tons of everything, too. Eventually, I passed out on Dad's bed. My father was not a man with boundaries. I love that she feels she had to say that then.
Yeah.
Just in case you were...
I guess all the leaves are brown. That's sad.
He was full of love, and he was sick with drugs. I woke up that night from a blackout to find myself having sex with my own...
Wait, no. Hold on. You don't wake up from a blackout having sex with anyone. That's you wake up having sex done to you, I suppose, for lack of a better word. You wake up being raped by your father.
How about
That's
this part?
That's not having sex if you're unconscious. There's no such thing as date rape, kids. It's just rape.
How about this part? Had this happened before? I didn't know.
I don't know. This is the one I woke up during. Right?
Oh, exactly. All I can say was the first time I was aware of it. Then I love the sentence after that is,
this is not
Philip's
a pop-up
life
book, is it?
Then began to spiral out of control. So that wasn't the bad part. That was the
right.
In control part, and then it got bad.
Worse. Yeah.
Yeah, then. Now we're talking, Jim. This is when it starts to...
That's when she got a sitcom. Oh, my God! I mean, it's one thing to wake up with your father having sex with you, but it's another thing to stand in front of a studio audience.
Then she was fired.
The future Miss X Eddie Van Halen.
She was fired from One Day at a Time because of her drug use. That same year, she went to rehab with her father. Her sexual relationship with him had become consensual.
Threw up in my mouth.
Again.
Oh, wow.
That's when it became consensual then.
There's not pictures in this book, are there?
One night, Dad said, we could just run away to a country where no one would look down on us. There are countries, this is an accepted practice, maybe Fiji.
Really?
Who knew?
Yeah. I'm not drinking that water anymore.
All right, are you ready for the... here's the part where it gets creepy, Hal.
Oh, good. Okay. Hold on one second.
One night before his death in 2001, she confronted him about the abuse, saying, "We have to talk about when you raped me." Her father reportedly replied, "You mean when we made love?"
Well, maybe he wasn't talking about the time he raped her. It was the time, you know, she just didn't remember, you know, like... When they went to prom, she was completely...
That one made me puke.
She also claims that Mick Jagger once cornered her and said, "I've been waiting for this since you were 10 years old."
See that you're just 13 years old. And I want your IDs.
Wow.
Yes.
And here's the thing. She wouldn't strike me as the kind of, you know, like... I'm not saying she's not attractive.
Not even the hot sister on One Day at a Time.
Right, exactly. Yeah. If this was Valerie Bertinelli, I wouldn't be shocked at all. But there's an element to where, like, I mean, your dad's and the mamas and the papas, and he
Would you like to hear one degree of One Day at a Time separation?
Oh, yeah. Were you... you were at USC with...
No.
Okay, you were in...
I was in a nun movie with Valerie Bertinelli, a made-for-TV movie.
The only fetish I have.
In which I played a novice nun.
Mm-hmm.
All I remember
you
is
still
it
have
was
the
a,
outfit?
Mm-hmm. It was, it was a scratchy wool habit uniform, and it was filmed in the valley in the summer.
As you do. Right.
Anyway, I was in... There was back in those days, kids, by cracky, there were payphones. We didn't have none of them fancy cell phones.
Uh-huh.
And I let Valerie Bertinelli butt in front of me in the payphone line to talk to Eddie Van Halen on a break from filming.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that little showbiz story there.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
They had some longevity there. They were both crazy and, you know, but they managed to last a good couple of decades.
Yeah,
got a kid.
Exactly. Dave and Bob, that's where the family values was in with the rock band.
Sorry, you and the
sister.
Nuns have it. I'm still having to deal with.
Oh,
right?
Boy.
Yeah.
You've officially made
it worse. All right.
Dave in Buffalo on the healthcare debate. Hello, Dave. You're on with Hal Sparks.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, I had the call. I mean, I've listened to all these talking head stuff shirts, whatever you want to call them, talk about how the government can't do anything right and yada yada yada, and then you know the VA, you know, is just another failed system or whatever. I just came out of the VA in Buffalo, and I think I was in and out of three different clinics, got prescriptions filled in like less than 2 hours.
Wow.
And, you know, I've had to use the emergency room before and, you know, same hour and a half kind of wait. I'd take that over the, you know, what was my company provided stuff any day.
Wow. Right. I've had to wait that longer than that at, let's call it Smite Aid for my prescriptions, may I just say.
Right.
Yeah, last time I was there, it was that it was that Tim Conway character in the Carol Burnett sketch. Yeah, that's how slow they were moving.
Mr. Tudball?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mrs. Wiggins, will you get the in here right now?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Who's that
you
guy?
Watch your sharpened pencils. You get your prescriptions faster if you sharpen your pencils in front of him.
All right, try not to laugh just at the headline. Michael Steele, Republicans must take steps to court black voters. Since he right now would be the only one, I'm presuming.
Sure, and that Hispanic growing block might be something, you know, if McCain might want to stop referring to them as you people. Might be a good step in the right direction. I mean, it's one thing to, you know.
He might want to take a page out of that one's book about how to refer to you people.
Exactly, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're great at it. I don't understand. They put Michael Steele in charge of the RNC. I mean, I don't know why black people aren't satisfied with that.
Exactly.
Just because every policy they put in place could
be. There's a shot against the bow of tokenism right there.
Absolutely.
Huh?
Yeah. I mean, Michael Steele is, and they have total faith in him. They allow him to dictate policy. He's not just there to talk. And obviously all their positions are very helpful to minorities of all stripes.
RNC Chair Michael Steele says his party must take steps to win over black voters. He spoke at a historically black college in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Sure.
And probably, you know, did some hilarious material like, do you mind if I dance with your dates or something?
Right,
you know,
yeah,
he
right.
To whip out the...
Right. Alan Keyes wrote these jokes. Let's see how they go over.
He said the party would need to take baby steps to win over black voters.
Much like Tom DeLay.
Sure.
Exactly.
Right.
Because last we checked how we have mm-hmm. talked about this before. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. George Bush had his approval rating among black people was within the margin of error.
Right.
Yeah. So we were saying theoretically more black people than are alive could actually hate George Bush.
Right. Well, they were at a certain point they were using the theory that certain black people that had lived before might like him were they still living. And so they were padding the polls that way.
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know, mm-hmm. Alan Keyes' father would have, you know, they should count him as well.
People who've been black in a previous life.
Right, exactly. Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like Karl Rove.
Michael Jackson, and then he died. You see, Michael Jackson may have liked George
right,
Bush.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Well, he was no
before
longer
he was a white woman.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Yeah, he was definitely pro-Bush.
Speaking of love stories, Governor Mark Sanford's wife is writing a memoir.
Oh, boy.
This may be better than Mackenzie Phillips' book.
Oh, boy.
Ballantine Books will publish Jenny Sanford's inspirational memoir. I suppose we'll inspire women how to...
Yes.
Chapter
3.
Kick the bastard out.
The cucaracha. Chapter 4.
All right.
Where is he now? Chapter 5, Father's Day. All these pages are blank.
Chapter 6, Appalachian Trail, my ass.
Right. To my
if
ass.
You want to know about all things Hal Sparks, here's what you do.
You can follow me on Twitter, at Hal Sparks. You can go to halsparks.com. You can also, there's a lovely page on stephaniemiller.com that has my stand-up dates. I'm in Chicago next week at the Chicago Improv, and I'm in San Francisco the week after that at Cobb's.
I have a special Hal Sparks area.
Yes, you do.
All right.
Oh, you just don't
type
know it
Stephanie
yet.
In the box, won't you? Right. That's it for us today. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, Rebecca Baker. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.